All right, I wanted to make it clear that the objective of Mamad Har Sinai, there were two specific objectives. Of course, they're connected with each other. One is to reveal the existence of God. Not just the existence of God, but the fact that the Torah is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to affirm the divine source of the Torah. Now, something which is intricately connected to that is the phenomenon of Moshe Rabbeinu. That is to say that God did not reveal the entire Torah at Har Sinai. He just revealed a part of it, the Asaras HaDibros. And we have to go into, we have to make a study as to why, what's so unique about those 10 ideas, the 10 Dibros, which constitute more mitzvos. These are the major foundations, major headings, whatever you want to say. It's an extremely significant portion of the Torah that's contained in the Asaras HaDibros. But it's not the entire Torah, as we all know. So therefore, what was also essential was that the source of Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Torah is going to be transmitted to us via certain individuals. First and foremost is Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, the authenticity of Moshe Rabbeinu had to be established, because everything that's going to be revealed to us is going to come about through Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, the ultimate authenticity of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was also established at Sinai, and that is stated clearly in the pasuk. It's a very crucial pasuk, which says, "Hinei anochi bo elecha bi'av ha'anan." This is the pasuk in which God tells Moshe the manner of the revelation. I'm going to come to you in the thickness of a cloud. Ba'avur yishma ha'am b'davri yimach, in order that the people will hear when I speak to you. And also in you, also implies that it's not the only idea, but it's an integral component. Also in you, will they believe forever? Now, there's a number of ideas over here, but the essential ones are that the people will hear. The people will have firsthand knowledge, which will come about through their senses, through the mechanism of their sense perception, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Creator addresses mankind. And that's the first idea. So therefore we know that there is a Creator, first and foremost, that there is a Creator. We know that this Creator is not removed, is not aloof from the creation. Well, many, many false ideas that people have about the nature of the Creator are removed by Sinai. That's that God is aware of what goes on in the universe, that God is, so to speak, concerned about how people should live their lives, and perhaps more significantly, the idea of prophecy, that God communicates in a manner which is knowable to us. Those are some of the ideas. That's Torah. The Torah is Min HaShemayim. But there's another significant aspect, and that is, how does God transmit His ideas to us? That's the mechanism of Nevuah, through Nevuah, and not everybody's a Nevi. So this is to authenticate the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's not only with regard to the written law. It's to authenticate Moshe Rabbeinu with regard to everything, every aspect of the revelation, which of course includes the oral law as well. And la'olam means not just Moshe, but all those who come after Moshe, that Moshe is going to establish a system, the Balei HaMasorah, those who are authorized to transmit the Masorah. The system that Moshe Rabbeinu establishes, because you have to have such a system. You see why these things are necessary, and one idea follows from the other. If you accept the fact that the written law, so to speak, the Torah Shebichtav, is from God, then you're obligated to accept the authenticity of the so-called Torah Shebichtav, of the oral law. Because it's impossible to decipher, it's impossible to understand the meaning of the Torah Shebichtav without recourse to the system of interpretation, all of the ideas, all the the explanations, what this stands for, what this means, and what is the Ksharta Mlios Lyadefa, what is the tefillin. None of the laws in the Torah are spelled out with any type of specificity. There's no way that you could possibly figure out the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can never figure out the system. You can never figure out the mitzvot. So it is clear that one idea follows from another. That if we assume, if we're convinced that at Sinai God was communicating to man, to the Jewish people, of course, and ultimately to mankind, the system by which he wants people to live, and it's something which is capable of being understood and implemented, then there's got to be a body of interpretations, a correct body of interpretations, because the Torah Shebech Tzad by itself, in and of itself, is impossible to figure out. It's written in such a way that nobody can possibly figure out, even in a general sense, what it's referring to. It's not a self-contained unit, as opposed to sometimes an author writes a book. Some people write more specifically, some people write more clearly, some people write less clearly, but if a person has any clarity whatsoever, you more or less can figure out what he's saying. And you can say, well, I got the general idea, I don't know exactly every aspect, but I got the 80%. That's true, you read an editorial in a paper. At least you know what the person is saying. You may not agree with the person. But you read the Torah, and then that's why you see that all of the various sects, whether they're in Judaism or they're outside of Judaism, the Christian sects, that limit themselves, essentially they're all united in one thing, the rejection of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the rejection of the oral law. If you limit yourself just to the Torah Shebaal Peh, just to the written law, then there's, virtually an infinite amount of possibility. You can construe it any way you want. And you have absolutely no way of knowing what you're talking about, whether what you're saying has any validity whatsoever. So you're completely lost, and therefore there's no objective has been achieved. The objective that the God has communicated his will to mankind has not been achieved solely through the means of the written law. So that's why you have to assume that at the same time, God communicated the proper way to understand. And that, of course, we have. We go back from generation to generation. Those very same sources that communicated the written law to us have communicated the oral law to us. Right. I've gone a little bit further than the question. The question primarily was addressed to the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu, that the ultimate validation of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And more than that, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the selected instrument, not necessarily just in this case or in the other case, not necessarily when he led the Jews out of Mitzrayim, but that in all cases, that Moshe Rabbeinu has been designated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the spokesman. This is what God told Moshe in Mitzrayim, that Behotziach ha'am Mitzrayim, Tavdun esolokim al-harazeh. All right, now the question is that if that is the case, that it was the will of God that the people should have direct knowledge of the fact that the Torah comes from God and that Moshe is his designated the spokesman. So, if that is the case, what about all the future generations? So then so that's good. That's for the generation that actually witnessed it. And many people will say, had we been there, had we witnessed such a thing, as described by the Torah, then of course we would draw the proper conclusion. This would remove all doubts from our heart, and our belief would be complete. Now, if that is the will of God, that our belief in the Torah should be based upon this type of a knowledge, so what about all future generations? What is the basis for the belief of the generations that were not present at Sinai? That's the question. In Devarim, the Torah commands us not to forget what we saw. Again, the idea that this event was orchestrated, was brought about in such a way that it would be not limited, it wouldn't be limited just to those particular people that saw it, but it would provide the basis for all mankind throughout all of history to be able to ascertain that the event occurred. This idea is mentioned in Devarim. And that makes a lot of sense. That is to say that God's concern, of course, was for that particular generation, but what good would it do if it was limited just to that generation? And the pasuk itself says, "V'gam b'chol ya'amin li'olam," that they'll believe in you la'olam. So therefore, it's necessary to assume that God did it in such a way that we would have knowledge of it, that all future generations would be able to know that this event actually occurred. And once they know that this event actually occurred, so then they'd be in the same position as those who actually witnessed it. They would be in that position through their knowledge. Now this idea is stated in Devarim. Take a look at Devarim, Perek Daled, Tes. After it mentions that you should guard the Torah, this is your chachma, your discernment in the eyes of the nations. They'll hear these statutes, they'll hear about these laws, and they'll say, Rakam chacham v'navon. Then if you go to test, Raki shamar lecha, but guard yourself, v'shmor nafshcham od, and guard your soul very much, pen tishkach hasadvarim asher ro einecha, lest you forget the matters that your eyes saw, ufan yosuru milvavcha, or lest you remove them. You allow them to be removed from your heart. You lose touch. It's more than just forgetting. It's losing touch with the ideas that lead you to this conclusion. You have to teach them to your children and your children's children. The day that you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when God said to me, gather unto me the people, and I'll let them hear my words, that they should learn the Yira Osi, Kalayamim, and so forth. Then it goes on to describe the event. And the Yudbeis, and God spoke to you, Mitocha Eish, from the midst of the fire. Then he told you his covenant and so forth. The idea that the Jews are obligated to study this aspect of history, and that if you study history properly, you will be able to establish beyond a doubt that this event actually occurred, is mentioned over here in the Devarim. These are the psukim. Take a look at Dalad Lamed Beis. Kisha Alma Liyamim Rishonim, ask, inquire about the early days, the beginning. That's a reference to studying the history. Asher Hayu Lefanecha, the days that existed before you came into being. That's studying history. The Minayom Asher Bara Elokim Adam Al Aretz, go back all the way to the from the very beginning of time. From one end of the heavens to the other end. So check the history of the entire world and see whether this phenomenon ever occurred. Haniya kadavar gadol hazeh, has this great thing ever occurred? O hanishma kamahu, or has anything been heard like it? So compare what we're studying over here and see whether anything of a similar nature ever occurred anywhere else. Hashoma am kol elokim. Here's the key thing. Has a nation ever heard the voice of God, medaber mitocha eish, speaking from the midst of the fire, kasher shamata ata vayechi, as you heard while you were living? Well, what's the meaning of this? Has a nation ever studied history of other nations and see whether you have such a phenomenon, whether such an event exists in the history of any other nation? Oh, Anisa Elokim Lavoy Lakachas Lagoy Mekar of God. Or whether this is a reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim. But this concludes on Lamed Hey, Atu Hareso Ladas. You have seen to know, Kier Hashem Hu Elokim, Eino Muvado. This is saying that the foundation of our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based upon Das, it's based upon knowledge. You have been shown to know. you have been enabled to have a visual experience which would give you the appropriate type of idea of knowledge. And then you should know this day and incorporate it into your heart. As a result of everything that occurred to the Jewish people, the conclusion, the result of this is that we are obligated not to have some kind of a faith as the world understands it. This is a tremendous mistake that many Jews make this mistake because of assimilation. And because every religion is based upon this thing called faith, which means, for all intents and purposes, that it's something you just believe in. There's no way you can prove it. There's no way you can know whether it occurred or not. It's faith. So, and that's elevated to a high level. That's considered a person of faith is considered to be on a very exalted level, because even though he has no knowledge, he puts his faith in it. Which really, from a rational standpoint, to the contrary, makes no sense at all. If we extol, if you hold that the essence of a person is really the Tzelem Elokim, the divine element, the ability to think, to use chachma, to reason, so then that would be a serious criticism that in an area which is very vital, in any area, if a person abandons wisdom and just follows an emotion to guide him, that person would be lacking in terms of rationality, be criticized. Certainly in the most significant of all areas, that his whole way of life is anchored in his religious beliefs, and this is something in which he abandons reason and follows a certain emotion that propels him. Or he follows a system that he was raised in, because he was raised that way. And he can't free himself, his mind from that type of a pressure to be able to think intelligently on the subject. We've just been digressing a little bit over here. That people have a tremendous resistance towards the idea that the fundamentals of Yahadus can be established through verification. I hesitate to use the word proof only because proof has certain connotations. So that people with a lot of resistance will try and bring criteria what constitutes a proof in accordance with science and what's acceptable as a proof. So I just want to avoid that whole hassle, so to speak. Remember, the point over here is that in accordance with the way the entire world functions, in accordance with the criteria by which we establish that certain things took place in history, and no intelligent person would question them. If we could establish what the criteria are by which people will accept things, people are convinced that certain things occurred in terms of history. So what we're saying is that this event, the event of Torah Mesinai, that God revealed the Torah to the Jewish people, is not something which we are expected to just believe in. But if this is what the Torah itself is saying, if we study the matter from the perspective of how we establish things in history, you'll be able to see that this is as firm, and as clear and convincing as any other thing that we accept to be true in history, to the extent that, well, many things, everybody agrees that such a thing is historical knowledge. Historical knowledge essentially means, can we have knowledge about things that occurred that we ourselves didn't witness, the things that occurred outside of our own sense perception. That's really what the idea of history is. We weren't there. There's nobody living that witnessed the Revolutionary War. There's nobody that was around at the Civil War. There's nobody that has personal knowledge that George Washington was the first president. And many, many other things, and once you start to think about it. Yet, I don't think any sane person questions that these things actually occur. This is not a matter of faith. I don't think a person says, well, I have faith that there was a Revolutionary War. Essentially, all of the histories that you've been taught. And I'm not talking about the interpretations. With regard to the fundamental facts of history, these are things that every intelligent person accepts as true on the basis of knowledge. You may not understand why. So that's what we want to really go into. That's the basis of the inquiry. What are the criteria by which we accept certain things as being indisputable. There's no question in our minds. We accept them to be true. All right. All right, that's what we're going to do. All right, does that make sense? Because, yeah.
You didn't get to his answer.
About what?
Unless you want to say it's that's
acknowledged. The word emuna, again. Yeah, the word emuna does not mean faith. Yeah.
Just to buttress your point earlier about how the actual translation.
Yeah, the word faith, you know,
it's a rough
faith has connotations, blind faith, informed faith, you know, like the word, a lot of these words are deliberately vague. So what I'm saying is, yeah, it's clear that the Torah does not endorse blind faith. Okay, so let's see. Now let's go to this. All right, let's proceed. Yes, well, how do you know the Saturday Night Live? Maybe that's sad.
That's
the real thing.
And you're like,
what's
the Saturday Night Live?
Maybe it's like a big one. Somebody agree.
What's the Saturday Night Live?
We said report. We have the Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
What? Okay. All right. So I'm just going to go through quickly. Okay, I got to go. Quick.
Yeah, I was just going to say that you see people are trying to deny the Holocaust now.
Yeah.
And they have huge trials about it, and they never ever win a trial.
Yeah, you can't. Exactly.
Somebody raised that question
to me in my shul. Oh, but they deny the Holocaust. You can't deny the Holocaust. There's no such thing as Holocaust now. Holocaust. What this is, the question would only have validity. Listen. No historian, no serious historian denies it. The only ones that deny it are those who hate the Jews, so it's an anti-Semitic phenomenon. It's like there are people at the protocols of the elders of Zion. You see what I'm saying? That's not denial. You see? That's not denial. That's like hatred. That's a political phenomenon. But denial would be that there are people, serious historians, that deny that World War II took place. There's no serious historian that's unbiased, that has nothing to do, doesn't care, you know, one way or the other about Jews, that denies the Holocaust. The only thing is that since it's an anti-Semitic phenomenon, you have people that are trying to say it didn't happen. But that's,
One of Arafat's head sheikhs told me, they denied that there was ever a temple on the Temple Mount.
Yeah, but I mean that's a.
It's a stupid. I mean, everyone.
Yeah, but you see, that's not a good raya because he's fighting against the Jews and he's using
exactly.
Propaganda.
It's a total motive to lie.
That's not denial. Denial in the form of propaganda is lie. That's lying. When we say deny, there's no serious person who studies history that would deny.
Mm-hmm.
That's not involved. That's not involved in the whole political dispute.